Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's DeStefano's Den with sports guy TJ DeStefano here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net. Good morning, sports fans. Welcome inside DeStefano's Den on Westmoreland Saturday Morning. We're on at 7:30 on 98.7 and 107.5 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX, westmorelandgold.net, and the iHeartRadio app. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano, and as always, we're talking sports. And today we are talking with the owner of the Westmoreland Sports Network. He's my good friend and a newlywed now, Dan Flickinger. Their website, westmorelandsports.com. You can also find them on Facebook, and they're on Twitter at WestmorelandSN. So good morning, Mr. Flickinger. How is everything going on this Saturday morning in fabulous Kutztown, PA, for you?
Yeah, we're getting ready for the Griffins and the Golden Bears. We made the four-hour trip, and hopefully Seton Hill can go 3-0. They started off the season 2-0, but TJ, this is the best time of the year, right? You got football, NFL, high school, college. Let's go, baby.
That's right. You know, this is my favorite time of the year as well. And as we always do, Dan, we have to start. I don't know why we ever started this, but we introduce you with the famous bell ring.
And that means we are ready to go.
That's right. I want to start with Seton Hill. And, of course, WSN is the broadcast home for Seton Hill University sports. And Dan is at Kutztown University today to broadcast Seton Hill and Kutztown. And that game is at historic Andre Reed Stadium at 12:05. And as Sean Meyer said last week, it must be on Turner Broadcasting with that start time.
Dan, yeah. Yes. I'm not really sure why Kutztown does that, TJ. It's certainly not to accommodate WSN.
I know. You're there, so give us a brief scouting report on today's game.
Well, it's going to be a tough game, I think, for the Griffins. Doesn't mean they can't win it. They've certainly shown that they can compete this year, I think. They have a lot of veterans on this team, a lot of kids that played in 2019 that stayed around and have gotten better in the weight room, gotten bigger, stronger, and faster. The Griffins have committed a number of turnovers and made mistakes through their first 2 weeks, but they are 2-0. They beat Bloomsburg, which obviously is a great program every year, 13-7 last week, and they started off the season with a win against Wheeling. But it's going to be, I think, a bigger challenge today. They can't make those same mistakes they did the first 2 weeks, or they're going to lose. I mean, and Dan Day, their head coach, said the same thing. When you look at Kutztown, they took IUP to the brink last week. Now, IUP was playing without like five starters because of COVID, or maybe even more than that. So you put that caveat in there. But that being said, Kutztown's at home. They're still a good team. They only lost IUP by 3 points. So if Seton Hill wants to win it, they can't commit five turnovers like they did the first 2 weeks of the season and still, you know, got those wins. Can't do it today. We'll see if the Griffins can eliminate those.
Yeah, and the offense has been all right. There was improvement from game one to game two. The special teams last week really struggled. But in both games, Dan, the defense has really carried them. And I'll tell you what, I'm very impressed with the Seton Hill defense this year. Back in 2019, they were very young and really struggled. But the defense has really come a long way.
Well, Dan Day said that, and I know he said that to you too as well a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. that the defense is what's going to carry this team. The offense is still kind of a work in progress. You know, they're still kind of young up front, even though they are bigger and stronger than we saw them in 2019. But they still haven't been able to run the ball consistently yet. I think Dan is still waiting for that to kind of happen. But the defense is legit. The defense, I think, can compete against anybody, even when they go up against the big schools like Slippery Rock, IUP, and Cal. The problem is, though, when they go up against those big schools, can the offense do enough to win? Can the offense do enough to keep the defense off the field so they're not tired in those games against the really good schools in the PSAC? I think that'll be a challenge. But certainly this defense is definitely good enough. And you mentioned, TJ, they were, you know, maybe younger in 2019, but they're not young anymore. I mean, they have so much experience on that side of the ball. And the first 2 weeks, I mean, we saw Jaden Emberton Gaines have a couple of really good weeks. Nario Walks had like 10 solo tackles mm-hmm. last week. So it's a new guy kind of stepping up every week. A lot of onus definitely being put on the defense this year, and they've rose to the challenge.
Yeah, and hopefully this is the year for them. I know that, you know, they've struggled for so long trying to build this program, and their best season was back in 2016 when they went 5-6, and I know they're off to their best start since then, but it's going to get tougher, as we alluded to there just a few moments ago, once the conference play gets going and they start playing the Slippery Rocks and the IUPs and the Cal U's.
Yeah, it definitely is, and you mentioned that 5-6 year. You know, they started the season 3-0. They were playing Cal U, which was also 3-0 at Offutt Field. So there's a lot of hype for that game. And then Cal U kind of took it to them. And even though the Griffins, you know, finished 5-6 that year, they only won, you know, two more games. So I think it's going to be a case, too, of where when they start to go up against these good teams and maybe they lose a game, you know, can they bounce back and beat the teams that I think they can, like Mercyhurst and Gannon and Clarion. You know, I think they definitely are as good or maybe even better than those teams this year. But the question is, you know, when they if they would lose to Slippery Rock in a couple of weeks, can they mentally rebound from that and go get a win against somebody else? I think that's still a part of the program building process that Coach Day is going through right now. It's like, and this can go for any college program when you're trying to, you know, really rebuild it and turn it around. It's like, you know, everything's going great, but how can you handle adversity? I think that's the biggest thing, how you handle adversity, because, you know, for these college programs that haven't had a ton of success, it is really difficult mentally to overcome some things, and you need to be able to do that in order to win. So what comes first? Like, how, you have to win to be able to get that confidence, but you have to have confidence to win. So it really is a difficult situation, but I think Seton Hill is on the right track.
So now I want to talk about WSN, the Westmoreland Sports Network. And how long have you been around now?
Oh, my gosh. This will be our 12th year.
That's crazy.
You can believe. It was funny when we were at the we do a coaches show, which you know, but we do, yes, a coaches show every year, or a kickoff show, as we call it. We've done it for Manor Valley Golf Course the last 2 years. And John Ruane from Penn Trafford, we started WSN when he was hired by Penn Trafford as the new head football coach. So before I interviewed him at the coaches show, I said, "Coach, I always know how long we've been around because it's how long you've been around at Penn Trafford." And I said, "This is our 11th year. This is your 11th year." And he said, "Wait a second. No, this is the 12th year." I said, "Oh my gosh, you're right. It is our 12th year. This is crazy just how time flies." And I think COVID also screwed us up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of forget kind of what happened last year, I think. So, yes, to make a long story short, TJ, this is our 12th season.
If anybody has not heard of you, I don't know why, they've been under a rock or something. Tell everybody about Westmoreland Sports, what you guys do, because it's a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could probably fill the rest of the interview up with exactly what we do. But, yeah, so we stream high school sports broadcasts in Westmoreland County, not just football. We actually just did a Greater Latrobe and Norwin girls soccer game earlier this week on Tuesday. And, by the way, the Latrobe girls beat Norwin for the first time in at least 2 decades. So that was really cool. The Latrobe girls soccer team's really good this year. They won 2-1 earlier this week, so a quick congratulations to them. But we broadcast high school football. Of course, you mentioned Seton Hill sports, not only football, but soccer, women's volleyball, baseball, basketball, lacrosse, wrestling for Seton Hill. And we also do high school basketball, wrestling, volleyball, soccer, the whole gamut for Westmoreland County high school sports. Folks can watch the games online. Some games are audio only, but a lot of our games are streamed online. HD video, you can watch them on your computer. You can watch them on your mobile device. We have instant replay, multiple camera angles at some of our games as well. And, of course, we have the best commentators around as well. They just do a fantastic job. And on a Friday night for high school football, we have up to 6, sometimes 7 broadcasts going on a Friday night where people can kind of kick back, relax if they're not going to any games, and watch and listen to all the games. Or if you do head out to the game, you can go back and listen and watch to the archives as well on demand. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. We have a lot of written content on our site. We have a scoreboard on there people can follow, and also our YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed yet, we'd love to have you do that. We have a lot of interviews on there and game highlights and the whole 9 yards. So, yeah, we try to stay busy as possible, but it's honestly, TJ, it's all for the kids. We love promoting the student athletes, as you do, the communities, you know, the coaches, the parents, everybody. I mean, we try to get everybody involved, and that's kind of why we do what we do.
Yeah, exactly. And you do a good job as well with it. Now, I know that you like to make improvements every year, and you just mentioned this, whether it be with broadcasts or equipment, like that tripod that you claim that I broke 12 years ago, but I really didn't, or the website.
Yes, you did. I had to call the police on you. There's a picture. I think they have a picture of it. They had to come out and do a full investigation.
Yeah, is it down in West Virginia? Because that's where it happened.
That's where we probably left it.
Yeah, I know. So I'm a felon across state lines, I guess.
Yeah, don't travel back down there.
I don't plan on it.
I didn't think.
But as you mentioned, just a few weeks ago, WestmorelandSports.com, you just released an updated website. Now, I'm on it all the time. It's great. So just talk about the new website and what people will find when they visit.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Yeah, we made a big announcement on, and it was really cool that we decided, I think, to do it on the Friday morning of the first games of the high school football season. We made the announcement that we indeed would be unveiling a new website, and it's really cool because there's a lot of different things that our old site just didn't have, including a mobile-friendly site, and quite frankly, it was something that we had felt that we had needed for a number of years. But again, a lot of the focus and a lot of the investment, TJ, was in the broadcast. And, you know, we believe that our broadcast, we got to a point where, you know, we really liked where they were in terms of, again, the HD video and all the bells and whistles that we had with our broadcast. But we felt that the website was really lagging behind, and that's not the case anymore. We're really excited about it, not only a mobile-friendly site, but we have a new dynamic scoreboard at the top of the homepage. Once you go to our website, you see it at the top of the page, and on a Friday night, we're updating scores live. But throughout the week with soccer, volleyball, we update those scores as well. So every night, every day, you can go to our website and check out all of the scores from around Westmoreland County. And whether it's football, whether it's soccer or volleyball, it's all on there, or Seton Hill. We have the scoreboard at the top, but we also have a scores page. You can just click on the link there, and it'll take you right to the scores page. Everything's just laid out so much nicer as well. We have our broadcast right at the top of the page with nice pictures that you're able to click on a broadcast and listen to it quickly. Or you can go to the broadcast page and listen or watch back to previous broadcasts. We have our featured videos right on the front page for everybody. And, of course, we have our great content as well, which has taken another step this year. You'll see additional content that we didn't have before, but it also includes everything that Sean Myers has done. He does a tremendous job with really daily content, whether it's our weekly notebook or our Westmoreland alumni Q&A or our preview story every Friday for high school football. So it really is a website that we really wanted people to be able to use easily, find what they needed easily. And there's a lot more things that we're planning on adding as well. It's certainly not a finished product. It may never be a finished product, but we plan on adding schedules and rosters sometime in the next couple of months, hopefully for the winter season for basketball and wrestling. And we just continue to try to make it even better, but we'd love people to bookmark it and kind of make it your daily stop, I guess, when you're looking at all the other sites. But we're really, really excited about it. Thank you for the kind words, sports guy, and allowing us to kind of talk about it here.
Always. You know, I'm on it all the time. You know I'm WSN's biggest fan.
That's right, man. You got our back. I know that.
Yes, I do. We are talking with Dan Flickinger. He is the owner of the Westmoreland Sports Network here on DeStefano's Den on 98.7 and 107.5 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX, westmorelandgold.net, and the iHeartRadio app. Now, Dan, we're in the thick of high school football now, and I just want to talk right now about the Westmoreland County teams and how they've been doing as the season has got underway. And I want to start first with probably the biggest story is the unfortunate situation that's happening at Jeannette. You know, first Coach Roy Hall announced that this is his last year. The program had a lot of players transfer. I know some coaches also left. And as of the last check I heard, they've had some injuries and their team was only at 19 players. And they've really struggled at the beginning of the season. And as I said, it's really sad and a shame to see what has happened to such a great football program at Jeannette.
Yeah, and I mentioned on our our weekly show, TJ. I'll give that a plug, too, if you don't mind. Or Westmoreland on the Grid. So every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we talk about, you know, all the latest stories in Westmoreland County high school football, the scores, the stats, and everything. And Sean and I host that show. And, you know, I said to Sean, could you imagine if you went, speaking of going under a rock, if you went into hibernation after Jeanette played in the state championship, they beat Clareton badly in the Whippeal championship last year, which was certainly unexpected. Not that they wouldn't win, but that they mercy rolled them. And then they played in the state championship, nearly won a state title. If you went into hibernation after that and came out now, you would say, what in the world happened to Jeanette, considering all the players they should have had coming back? I think Roy Hall told me that they lost 10 starters to transfer. And that's just absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. And really what got the ball rolling was Brad and Brett Birch. They transferred to Gateway. Brad was a freshman last year, now a sophomore quarterback, as an offer from Oregon. And I guess they got the ball rolling. I don't know why those other kids transferred. I think that if it was just the Birches that transferred, I think that Jeanette still would be a really good team this year, even without those two guys. But when you add in all the other starters that they lost, it's really sad. Roy's a great guy, TJ. I know you've talked with him.
Yes.
We've worked with him for over a decade, and I really mean it. He's a great guy that really cares about the community, really cares about the kids. And he doesn't deserve kind of what's going on at Jeanette. I don't want to judge any kids for why they transferred or anything like that. But just looking at it like that, I really do feel bad, you know, for Roy. I was talking with Brent Wiggum, who broadcasts our games for Jeanette, obviously a Jeanette guy. He, along with Anthony D'Annunzio, and Brent said, listen, if they get the right guy in here whenever Coach Hall retires after this year, I think that Jeanette can be Jeanette in a couple of years. But I think the biggest concern right now, TJ, for a lot of people at Jeanette, including Adrian Batts, who's now the athletic director, he was a longtime basketball coach. Mm-hmm. I think a concern is, you know, now these kids, these talented kids that might be coming up through the midget programs, are they going to say, we're not going to stick around, we're also going to transfer because the varsity football program is not as good? So I think that's a concern. But if all those kids don't transfer, I think they will be good. You know, they will be good again. So I hope they have that Jeanette pride, that Jeanette tradition, and they can get back to it. Because, I mean, this really is a historic season in a negative way for Jeanette.
I want to move on to another team that's struggling, and that's Derry. This is a team that was at Heinz Field a few years ago, but they have lost a lot of players. Of course, they lost their former head coach, Tim Sweeney, and it's really been an uphill battle for Vince Skillings in his second season.
It's been really tough for Derry, and you mentioned, TJ, you know, thinking back, I know Jeanette has been good for a long, long time, but thinking back just a couple of years ago, Derry and Jeanette were both mercy rolling teams, and now they're getting mercy rolled, and by a lot. So it's kind of sad when you think back to where Jeanette and Derry were. Jeanette last year and Derry a couple of years ago, you mentioned they played at Heinz Field. They made it to another semifinal as well. And you know, the kind of the last year that they had that really, really good year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a case of Derry where I think everybody knew that they would have some light classes, if you will, coming through. But I do think there's a light at the end of the tunnel from talking to some people. Their midget programs have done pretty well. Their middle school team, I think, does have some talent on it from some kids that, you know, were in the midget program and did pretty well. So I think there is some talent coming up, but they have to get through, I think, these next maybe 2 years to get to that. But again, just like I mentioned before, TJ, you got to make sure your program is in decent shape when those kids get to that point, because you want them to play. You don't want anybody to quit because maybe, you know, the varsity team isn't doing as well. So I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel for Derry, but it's certainly been a rough season for Vince Skillings, who, by the way, is a really good guy, too.
Yeah, I've talked to him several times. Great guy. On to, let's see here, Greensburg-Salem, my old stomping grounds. They are off to a good start, and they have a lot of senior players, so if I think this is a year they're going to do anything, this is it. And they've actually got to flip that sign at historic Offutt Field a few times this year, adding to that 700 win total, which they got last year.
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned on your show, we talked about when they won their 700th game and how cool the celebration was and how sparkly the 700 was on the sign, but I don't think they wanted to look at it anymore, right? I mean, they wanted to start flipping it.
Yeah.
They got it to 702, and I know that, you know, you were there a couple of weeks ago at Mount Pleasant when Greensburg-Salem played them, and I mean, they do, as you mentioned, they have some veteran guys. And I'm really interested to see how they will play once they get into conference play as opposed to, you know, playing these non-conference games. But you can't take it away from them. I think they played very well. They should have beaten Hemphill. They had a lead on Hemphill before the Spartans came back in week zero. You mentioned Hayden Teska. I mean, he has just had a tremendous year. The game that you saw him, he had, what, like five touchdowns combined?
Yes.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rubrecht. I mean, they have some weapons on offense, and they've shown that they can throw the ball. I think the thing that slowed them down last year, TJ, honestly, was injuries. So hopefully they can stay healthy, and I'm really interested to see how the Golden Lions will do in conference play this year.
Yeah, they got tired of looking at 699 all that time, and then they had to look at 700 for a long time, so at least they've moved past both of those numbers.
Oh, and I also have to give a shout-out, too, to Billy McChesney, by the way.
Yes.
It's not only a great football player along the offensive and defensive lines, but it's a great wrestler as well, and he's just a great kid. So we got to give a shout-out to Big Billy because we interview him pretty much, I feel like, after every game or after every wrestling match, and we always like talking to him.
Yeah, he's a big part of that offense and defensive line for the Golden Lions. Another team, Ligonier Valley, off to a great start, only they're a second season back in the WPIAL. Now, this is a team, Dan, that returned everyone from last year. They only had one senior graduate on last year's team, so they're off to a real good start this year.
Yeah, how about that? They're really making some noise in the WPIAL. And last, when they played Jeanette a couple of weeks ago, normally I would have been really excited about that game, and I think everybody would have been, because I've been saying that Ligonier and Jeanette should play for a long time now, just because of, you know, geographical location and the schools kind of being similar in size and both programs being really good. It's unfortunate that Jeanette's down this year, so Ligonier kind of took it to them. But, man, they're really making a statement right now this year, aren't they, in the WPIAL? They beat Elizabeth Forward. I mean, and nobody, I don't think, saw that coming. So give a lot of credit to Roger Beidle and his group. You know, they've pretty much, knock on wood, they've stayed healthy so far this year, and they're a very talented team. Again, we've gone through so many non-conference weeks, TJ. I want to see them in conference play and see how they fare. They will have to go up against a really good Sarah Catholic team and some other teams, but that's one of those teams where you really got to keep your eye on to see how Ligonier Valley will finish this year. They missed the playoffs barely last year. I have a feeling they're not going to miss the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, they were so dominant in District 6 all those years in the Heritage Conference. They were just winning titles left and right every year. But it's good to see them back in the WPIAL for sure.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you know, Roger Beidle was talking about the kind of oddness in the classes. You said they only lost one senior.
Yeah,
they only had one senior on their team last year. It was kind of crazy. And I think they didn't have any freshmen on their team last year. So it was really strange. The numbers are a little bit down, he said, at Ligonier Valley. But he's working to get those back to where he wants them to be. But obviously, it hasn't hurt them this year.
Let's see here. We may have a time for one or two more teams here. I want to talk about Latrobe. They've been making progress the last couple years, but this year they're still finding ways to have these heartbreaking losses. I know they've had a couple this year to Norwin at the end and then Kiski. And I know I talked to Coach Jason Maruco before the season. He said that was really the next step for this program, to find a way to finish these close games and find a way to win them. And unfortunately, they haven't done that, as I mentioned, in these last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, they had the lead against Norwin, and unfortunately, you know, the Knights were able to come back and win that game, and give all the credit to them for doing so. And then you look at the game against Kiski. You know, they were right there at the end. They lost by a touchdown. I was actually talking with one of Coach Maruko's assistants, Derek Molnar, earlier in the week, and he said, man, he said, we should have won both of those games. You mentioned, TJ, last year they had a chance to beat Upper St. Clair. They had a chance to beat Woodland Hills, mm-hmm. and just weren't quite able to do it. So, and obviously having Bobby Fetter out doesn't help either.
Yeah.
You know, he's on the team as their starting quarterback, and he's had injury issues, unfortunately, with his shoulder. So hopefully he can come back at some point this season. That hasn't helped either, although I think Riott's done a nice job filling in for him. But, you know, it's a case of where you're hoping that Latrobe, once we get in the conference play, again, as I keep saying, that maybe they can close out these games. But their conference certainly isn't easy, as they have to go up against some really good teams in Penn Trafford and Gateway and Woodland Hills. So they have some tough tests on their schedule. But Drake Clayton told me last week, he said, I think this is the team that can make the playoffs and can make some noise in the playoffs. They just have to finish off some games.
A big thing I think that happened this year, Dan, was the WPIAL finally put together a non-conference schedule with the local teams playing each other. It was long overdue, and it's just really great to see. What say you?
The WPIAL finally, you know, pulled their heads out of you know where, and were able to put together a schedule that included local games in their non-conference games. Like Penn Trafford was before, was like playing Trinity in their non-conference games, which made absolutely no sense. But now they play Bell Vernon, they play Hempfield. You know, Latrobe plays Norwin, Mount Pleasant, Greensburg, Salem, Mount Pleasant are playing. So finally, they have recognized, and I give a ton of credit to Amy Schuneman because she's been great for the WPIAL.
Yes.
Unlike the past person that was in there. You know, she understands it. She gets it. So it's nice to see these local teams, not only week zero, but week one, two, and three. You know, when these non-conference games, nice to see these local teams are playing one another because the crowd sizes have been unbelievable to start this year, and that's what matters. Not the final score, but, you know, the community's getting out and making noise, and the band and the cheerleaders.
Well, Dan, thank you as always for coming on. Continued success with WSN. And just remember that our 2021 highlight shows are coming up at the end of December, and we have a lot of good stuff on there to talk about.
Yeah, I think we started with like one show, then two. We might have to have like five shows in order to get it all in this year, TJ. We might have to start in like October.
We might have to, because there is a lot of stuff on that list. I think right after we finished the other shows in last December, we started on the 2021 list in January. So there's a lot on there.
Well, I always look forward to it, buddy. That's a great few shows there. It should be a lot of fun. And we'll probably still be adding things to that list from now until December.
Definitely. We got a couple more months to go. So as we close, as always, I will give you the ceremonial bell ring.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a back to you because I've been getting ready. I don't know if you heard the horn there. I beat my horn. I'm in my car waiting to go into the stadium. That's how committed I am, TJ, to be on your show. So thank you so much for having me, and hopefully everybody can tune in and watch some Griffins football here coming up.
That's right. Thanks for tailgating in the parking lot there at Kutztown and doing this with me.
No hot sausage, but, you know, that's okay. I'll go see if I can, I don't know, maybe scrounge up some cookies or something.
And that was Dan Flickinger, owner of the Westmoreland Sports Network. Check them out, westmorelandsports.com. Also on Facebook, Westmoreland Sports, and Twitter is at WestmorelandSN. That does it for DeStefano's Den. This Saturday morning, you can like the show on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at SportsGuy1480. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next Saturday on Westmoreland Saturday Morning.